That's the penultimate episode of Mansfield Park by Jane Austen, starring Amanda Root, Felicity Jones and Benedict Cumberbatch. Fanny Price has been sent to live with her rich aunt, Lady Bertram, at Mansfield Park in Northamptonshire. But today, she's in Portsmouth to meet her mother and the rest of her family.
Sir Thomas Bertram has sent Fanny to stay with her mother in Portsmouth. He has not done this out of any true love for the bond between mother and child, but rather in the hope that it will loosen Fanny's resistance to Henry Crawford's proposal of marriage.
Mother! Mother, they're here!
Sir Thomas is quite certain that a spell away from the comforts of Mansfield Park will serve to remind Fanny that wealth and position may indeed have much to recommend them.
Oh, where's Rebecca? Rebecca!
Coming up in a fine carriage.
Oh, Susan, Rebecca!
And William's with her. They're getting out.
Oh, how do I look?
How do you mean?
Well, she hasn't seen me, has she? Your sister Fanny hasn't seen me these 8 long years. Rebecca!
You calling me, missus? Only the lard has gone and fallen on the floor and I'm scraping it up high with a ladle.
Oh, never mind that, Rebecca. Fanny's here.
Mother.
Oh.
We made good time. The town was busy as we came in. Here's Fanny.
Oh, my dear. Let me hold you.
Mother.
Your ship's gone out of harbour, William. And we've got to join it just as soon as you're home.
Let me look at you.
Gone off to Spithead, it has. And Mr. Campbell, come to fetch you.
I believe I would have known you.
Becca spilled lard all over the kitchen floor, Mother.
Susan, come and greet your sister.
Oh, Susan, how tall you are.
14, I am. I need my shirts, Mother, and I got to get ready.
Now, Sam is joining his brother on the thrush.
I ain't got no shirts, Susan.
I'm not sewing your shirt.
Susan!
Now, Rebecca! Poor dears, how tired you must be.
It's a girl's duty to sew her brother's shirt.
Sam Price, you're a liar!
Mother!
Now, let us sit down and take some tea.
If I die on board of the cold weather, it'll be your fault.
I'll come to your funeral.
This ain't fair. William had 3 shirts already when he went to sea.
Rebecca! Oh, what a sad fire we've got. Draw your chair nearer, my dear. Did Rebecca not bring in the coals? Susan, did you not take care of the fire?
It really doesn't matter, Mama.
I was upstairs moving my things out for Fanny, but Rebecca wouldn't help.
It really is of no importance.
Rebecca!
Mother, my shirts!
So this is your home, Fanny. Do you remember it? You were so young when you left us that
9 years old.
Oh, here's your father now.
William, my boy. Your ship is anchored off Spithead.
I know, Father.
You missed quite a sight to see it sail out of harbour.
This is Fanny. Come all this way.
I took Sam with me to watch it go. Never seen better in all my days. I've been to Turner's about your mess. You should have your orders tomorrow.
Father.
She lies close to the Endymion between her and the Cleopatra.
But here is my sister, sir. Fanny.
Fanny Price. Quite grown. I expect you'll be wanting a husband soon, eh?
Fanny is aware that her father smells of strong drink. And he seems to have no time at all for his daughters, but only for his sons.
Mama, my aunt's
Mother!
Send their love.
Betsy's been playing with my hat!
Now, I am speaking with your sister, William.
And Susan was meant to mend my waistcoat.
That was not!
The smallness of the house and the thinness of the walls brings everyone so close to Fanny that, added to her tiredness from her journey, she knows not how she shall bear it.
I shall mend your waistcoat, William.
It wasn't my fault, Mother!
Lawrence rolled up the mangle, missus!
Oh, now, Rebecca, did you not bring in the coals?
I only got one pair of hands! Mother, William threw his hat at me!
I ain't got no shirt. What about my shirt?
Fanny Price is home. But what a home. She checks herself. What right is she to be of importance to her family? She has been away so long.
Stop those targets, I can tell you right now.
Yeah, really? I'll actually be after you.
Well, I'm your officer.
No.
Fanny, fatigued, is thankful to accept the first invitation of going to bed. There is nothing to raise her spirits in the scantily furnished chamber she is to share with her sister, Susan. She lies awake. The sounds of the household and the street outside passing easily through the thin walls of the room. She thinks of her own little room at Mansfield Park and of Edmund, far away, in love with Mary Crawford.
You be careful, Sam. Now look after your brother, William.
I will, Mother.
I'll be all right, Mother.
Take care of Fanny, Mother. She's tender and not used to roughing it like the rest of us.
Oh, my own boy.
Goodbye, Mother.
Goodbye.
William is gone. The home where he has left Fanny is in almost every respect the reverse of what she could have wished. Here, noise, disorder, and impropriety rule. She cannot respect her parents as she had hoped.
Lovely dinner, that, my dear. Fancy a drop of brandy, eh?
Shall we not talk with Fanny tonight?
I have business in the dockyard, my dear.
I only thought...
Would you keep a man prisoner in his own house?
Mr. Price had not wanted for abilities as a young man, but he had no curiosity. He does not read books. He talks only of the dockyard, the harbour, Spithead. He swears and drinks. He is dirty and gross.
Your father always has his business. Let me help, Mother.
Mrs. Price is not unkind, but her daughters have never been much to her. William is her pride.
Rebecca! Bring the coal!
She neither teaches nor restrains her children. Fanny can think of nothing, nothing, nothing but Mansfield Park. The elegance, regularity, harmony and peace of Mansfield Park. By the end of the week, Fanny is tempted to apply to the two houses Dr. Johnson's celebrated judgment as to matrimony and celibacy, and say that though Mansfield Park might have some pains, Portsmouth could have no pleasures.
Fanny! Fanny! Letters!
My dearest Fanny, I have seen your cousins, dear Julia and Mrs. Rushworth. They found me at home yesterday, and we were glad to see each other again. We seemed very glad, and I really think we were. A little. On the whole, Julia was in the best looks. But Mrs. Rushworth's day of good looks will come. She will have her first party on the 28th, when she will be mistress of one of the best houses in Wimpole Street. She will certainly feel then that she has got, to use a vulgar phrase, her pennyworth for her penny.
Dearest Fanny, I'm writing to you about our friend Miss Crawford. You know the weak side of her character, Fanny, and can no doubt imagine the situation I found her in London, surrounded by her mercenary and ambitious friends. They have been leading her astray for years.
Your cousin Edmund moved extremely slowly and arrived with us late, detained, perhaps, by parish duties. There may have been some old woman at Thornton Lacey to be converted. I am unwilling to fancy myself neglected for a young one.
But dearest Fanny, I cannot give her up. She is the only woman in the world I could ever think of as a wife. I send you my best love, Edmund.
Is it bad news, Fan?
My cousin Edmund is in love. That's all.
That's all? In love?
With a woman he feels has been led astray.
Is she a bad person?
No. No, not bad. She's like one of Rebecca's stringy old beans in the garden.
How's that?
We're only as good as what we've been fed on over the years.
I know you don't like it here. You've been somewhere much better. Our house is like a circus.
It is a little.
Who do you think Rebecca is?
The wife of the strong man, following him around with his great weights and chains.
Shouting after him, "Don't sit down there, I just put me potatoes on that chair, you great big lump."
Oh, what's this?
Shakespeare. We used to read it aloud in the evenings at home.
Don't have books here.
Listen. Oh, dear father. Restoration, hang thy medicine on my lips. And let this kiss repair those violent harms that my two sisters have in thy reverence made.
King Lear.
How does my royal lord... How fares your majesty?
You do me wrong to take me out of the grave. Thou art a soul in bliss, but I am bound upon a wheel of fire.
Very good, Susan.
I think you're wonderful, Fanny.
Really, Susan, if you knew all the important and well-connected people out there in the world, I'm sure you wouldn't find me very extraordinary at all.
I do not have to know them. They have not given me books or explained to me the names of the stars or show me where the martins come to nest year upon year.
I had a friend once, did all the same things for me.
And we're friends too, aren't we, Fanny?
Yes, we are.
Now, can we read a play? And I insist on playing all the rogues and scoundrels.
Once more, Fanny begins to feel the blessing of affection.
I am hurt. A plague on both your houses. I am sped. Is he gone and hath nothing?
What, art thou hurt?
Aye, aye, a scratch. Married is enough.
Each morning they sit together in their room without a fire and lose themselves in books.
Art thou gone so? My lord, my love, my friend. I must hear from thee every day in the hour, for in a minute there are many days. Oh, by this count, I shall be much in years ere I again behold my Romeo. Oh.
Good morning to you, ma'am. Henry Crawford at your service.
Oh, no.
Who is it?
Daughters from Northamptonshire.
Fanny! Fanny, a visitor!
Miss Price, I must ask your forgiveness, but my business takes me to Portsmouth, and I could not pass without calling upon you.
And tell me, Mr. Crawford, have you been travelling?
I have been visiting my estate in Norfolk, Mrs. Price. I thought myself to be swindled by my agent, but it turns out I am the crook.
Oh, surely not.
I have tenants, Mrs. Price. I have not done enough for them.
We all have our position in life to bear.
But if we may improve each other's lot, then do you not think that we should?
Good works are said to be their own reward.
Indeed. Mine were few, but perhaps a beginning. I am ashamed to say that I have tenants who up until now I have never even met. Cottages which I have never even visited.
Fanny is moved by the change in Henry Crawford. It is pleasing to hear him speak so properly.
There is still much to be done, however. I should like to make their acquaintance, each and every one.
Come along, children. Do not dawdle.
My dear Miss Price, I have no business in Portsmouth.
Mr. Crawford.
Forgive me, but my purpose, I will not pretend otherwise. My only purpose in coming was to see you. I could no longer bear such a total separation.
She wishes he had not said it. Yet she finds him altogether improved, more gentle, more attentive to other people's feelings. The next day, they walk by the sea.
Spring is coming, Miss Price.
Yes.
I think the flowers will be happy at Mansfield Park. You must miss it terribly.
I do.
You have been here a month, I think. And it is a 2-month visit, is it not?
My uncle talked of 2 months.
I know Mansfield, Miss Price. I know of its faults towards you. I know there is a danger of you being forgotten. If you wish to return at any time, give only the slightest hint, and I shall come down and take you back.
That is very kind, but I assure you...
I am perfectly serious. I must return to Norfolk soon. I remain unhappy with my agent. Should I go? Do you advise it?
Advise?
When you give me your opinion, I always know what is right.
No, do not say so. We have all a better guide in ourselves if we would attend to it than any other person can be.
When Henry Crawford leaves, it is more like parting with somebody of the nature of a friend. And though in one light she is glad to have him gone, in another she feels deserted now by everyone. The very next day, a letter arrives from Mansfield Park.
Tom is taken ill, dearest Fanny. We are far from sure that he will not succumb. Edmund is at his side, attending to his every need, and still the doctors say he may not live.
Let's go on board now!
Is this the coach for Oxford?
Yes, miss.
Oh, Fanny, come home.